All right, joining us from Southern California, he covers the Dodgers for the Southern California News Group. We've enjoyed having him on this year, and that is J.P. Hornstra. J.P., good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Marty. How are you?
No, we're doing well. You know, a little bit early for us, but we're getting it done today. Well, we'll see what happens. Can it be Giants-Dodgers again? We haven't had a Giant-Dodger playoff since 1962, well before you were born. I do remember it. But what do you think about that?
Well, there are so many scenarios in play for the Dodgers today as far as who they might get in the first round. I think that the idea of a Giants-Dodgers series, it's cool for the rivalry aspect. It would be cooler if there were fans in the stands, obviously. There's a lot of history there. But I think if you're the Dodgers, you're thinking about this from a really practical standpoint, which is that of all the teams in play for the number 8 seed, and Marty, I've been racking my brain all morning just figuring out who it could be, the different possible scenarios. The Giants are the only one the Dodgers have seen this season. And so I think that degree of familiarity is really key, especially in this season where you've only had West teams playing West teams, Central teams playing Central, East teams playing East. The idea of having to scout for your opponent without ever having seen them in person is really intimidating. So I think on a practical level, Marty, you know, the Dodgers might, if anything, want to see the Giants just because they actually know something about the Giants.
JP, Bill Lasky here with Marty. The LA Dodgers, 42-17, great year, 7-12 winning percentage. And they kind of outshine the 53 LA Dodgers with a 82 winning percentage. But when you look at the offense, it's mostly home run balls because you got a couple guys that are still hitting under 200, 116 home runs. That's remarkable when you're looking at a 60-game season. What do you see with the Dodgers moving into the playoffs? You got a couple guys, Jock Peterson, Muncy, under 200. Do you see the home run ball carrying over?
I think I do. You know, there are some ballparks where it's easier to hit a home run than others, obviously. This is where I think you really have to take into consideration that the Dodgers are actually, they're a really well-rounded team in terms of offense, defense, and pitching. And we've seen the Dodgers play small ball at times. Even yesterday, the Dodgers were playing the Angels. In the first inning, they got their first run on a double steal. Max Muncy stole second base and Mookie Betts stole home. Helped the Angels second baseman drop the baseball, but they can do things like that. They're comfortable doing things like that. It just so happens the home run is a far more effective weapon for driving in runs. So, you know, that's why you're seeing most of their offense coming from that. But I've seen them play a little bit more of a balanced game. So even if the home run doesn't carry over, which, like I said, in certain parks and against certain teams, it won't, I don't think the Dodgers are necessarily in trouble. But the fact that they have that weapon, really 1 through 9 in a lineup with a designated hitter, that kind of has been their calling card this season for sure.
Well, pitching is a story, and Kershaw has that history of pitching in the playoffs and having things blow up on him. What does the starting pitching look like for the Dodgers? I know it's a strange year without the off days once the playoff gets rolling.
Yeah, it is. Kershaw's going to be slated in either first or second, with Walker Buehler taking the other spot. And obviously in the best of three first round, that might be it. You might only see two pitchers start a baseball game for the Dodgers. Number 3 is an interesting story. Dustin May or Tony Gonsolin are probably the primary guys, although depending on the matchup, you could see Julio Urias sneak in to a rotation spot against a team that doesn't hit left-handers particularly well. You're very prescient to mention Clayton Kershaw's track record in the playoffs. He's not the worst postseason pitcher ever, but he's very average, which considering his regular season track record is very surprising. So I don't think you'll see Kershaw's rotation spot in jeopardy, but I do think, given just how deep the Dodgers bullpen has been this season, that his leash is going to be shorter than it's ever been. I think at least statistically speaking, that would be the correct call for Dave Roberts to shorten the leash on Kershaw this postseason.
JP, Mookie Betts, first year as a Dodger and really was an impact player, and played 55 games, 16 home runs, 39 RBIs, 10 stolen bases. He's really magnified this offense at leadoff and different positions in that lineup. Your thoughts on him being a new leader in that clubhouse?
Yeah, it's a little more difficult to say this year since reporters have had no clubhouse access at all. But from the glimpses that I've been able to glean from our little Zoom calls with the players before the games, it really sounds like Mookie Betts has been an active role in terms of helping teammates, in terms of, you know, sharing his knowledge with teammates. And even though that 12-year contract doesn't kick in until next season, it really sounds like Mookie Betts is taking an active role as somebody who's going to be the face of this franchise for the next decade. That's a role he is embracing. So, I think probably the most poignant moment where we saw that was in San Francisco when Betts decided that he was not going to play. This was in the wake of the Jacob Blake shooting and those protests, and the team just said, all right, Mookie, if you're not playing, we're not playing either. Pretty powerful for a guy who had barely been on the team for a month in terms of actually playing baseball games. So I do think that Betts in the clubhouse and on the field, just the way that he plays and the way that he works, you know, he might as well already be in year one of that big contract, because he's definitely taken that leadership role with open arms.
JP, you said you've looked at all the scenarios that we all have to make ourselves dizzy this morning.
Yeah.
Is there a team that maybe you are a little worried about? Not you personally, but the Dodgers may be worried about. Brewers with their starting staff. The Cardinals with they've got Wainwright and good pitching. And then you get, of course, the Phillies, who could come in there too. Any of those teams scare you?
Well, I think the one that's the scariest is the one you haven't mentioned, and that's the Cincinnati Reds with their starting pitching. I was looking at the stats the other day. The Reds, I think they're first or second in the National League in just about any pitching category you can conjure. And that's a team that can win a playoff series. They have not been able to hit. But I don't think you want to see Trevor Bauer in game one. You don't want to see Castillo there. That's a series that could be over in a hurry for the Dodgers or for any team. That's just the way the small series can roll. Phillies don't really worry me. That bullpen is entertaining, to say the least. The Brewers would be an interesting matchup because of the way that Craig Counsell is able to extract just the most he can from any pitching staff in any short series. Scary might be a little too strong of a word, but I think that'd be a challenge. St. Louis is going to be interesting because of the history there, too, with the Dodgers. That's a longstanding rival. And as far as I can tell, those are the three teams. I can't. I'll be honest with you, man. I've been looking at it for hours, and I can't tell if the Marlins are in play for the eighth seed. but that's a team I haven't seen any of this season. But it seems like they have a lot of momentum on their side. Having beaten the Yankees yesterday and clinching, and just a lot of good vibes around that team. So that's four or five teams that the Dodgers might face in the first round. And if Cincinnati finds a way to land at number eight, I think that's the one that would scare the Dodgers the most.
Hey, JP, Dave Roberts again on the hot seat. He's going back into the playoffs, and we've known some of the good and some of the bad that's come out with the Dodgers as they get into the playoffs. Your thoughts on his 60-game season and how he progresses as a manager this year, and your thoughts moving forward into the playoffs as the manager?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that Dave is on the hot seat based on how these playoffs go. Particularly if it's a quick first round exit, I don't think that you can necessarily judge a guy on two or three games. And the fact that this is the best regular season record the Dodgers have ever had, I think Roberts deserves equal measure of credit for that, even though it is a 60 game season. You know, the fact that the Dodgers have lived up to the tremendous hype that they had coming into this season speaks well on Roberts for you know, managing his personnel correctly. And I think the way that he's managed the bullpen this year, obviously deeper teams had an advantage with 28-man rosters, but the Dodgers have exploited that advantage as far as their relief pitching is concerned. And I think Robert gets a lot of credit for that. You know, any manager on a team with this kind of expectation is going to be on the hot seat. But I think in terms of what I've seen so far in 2020 from Dave Roberts, there's nothing that suggests that his rope is any shorter this season than years past. And the randomness of that first round best of three really throws a monkey wrench into the equation. But if the Dodgers can get past that, and we see a larger sample size of playoff games, you know, it would, Dave Roberts can certainly help himself out by not doing what he did in Game 5 of last year's Division Series, that's for sure.
Hey, JP, great to have you on. You've been great all year long in covering the Dodgers and Angels and things down there. So be safe, be well, and let's see what happens. But you've had quite a year, and I appreciate you being part of the show. I know the fans have enjoyed it, so have a good day.
Yeah, thanks, JP.
That's great. Thank you for having me.
All right, that is J.P. Hornstra, Southern California News Group. Bill, I dropped a 1962 reference on him, and you went one better. You went to the Boys of Summer of 1953.
And Marty, I'm trying to find those little nuggets here, my friend.
We're going to take a break, and Kerry Crowley's coming up next. I can't wait to talk to him. But in the interim, I'm going to let you think about the Boys of Summer of 1953 and see if you can name five of them when we come back.
Oh, my goodness. Now you're going deep with me, Marty.
All right. Very good. More coming up right here in the Sports Leader.